Welcome to Behind the Headlines, your daily roundup of some of the top stories our reporters have been covering across the UK today. It's an opportunity for us to give stories a bit more time than we can usually fit into our hourly on-air bulletins. And we try to look at the more talkable issues, not always the most serious, sometimes the more quirky. Like today, which foodstuff are these people getting excited about?
Yeah, I like mine wrapped in streaky bacon and then grilled.
Oh, I like it with batter.
Griddled.
And a little bit of parmesan.
You'll find out a bit later. But we also look at the issue of struggling to book a driving test, new research into how we dealt with COVID, and we speak to a Belfast priest who met the late Pope. But first, it's been the conclusion of a tragic story involving the deaths of four paddleboarders today. The owner of a paddleboarding company has been jailed. Neris Lloyd, who led the trip in Pembrokeshire in October 2021, has been convicted of gross negligence manslaughter and been sentenced to 10.5 years. Our reporter George Simmons was at Swansea Crown Court for us.
Neris Bethan Lloyd had a blatant disregard for a very high risk of death, according to the judge, Mary Stacey. Despite not having a proper risk assessment and all the correct qualifications, Lloyd still took Paul O'Dwyer, Andrea Powell, Nicola Wheatley and Morgan Rogers on a stand-up paddleboarding tour in Haverford West. The courtroom filled with the victims' families heard that due to heavy rain in the days before, the river was left in flood conditions, which ultimately caused the four to be swept off their boards into the weir. Here's Detective Cameron Ritchie from David Powers Police.
We've heard harrowing testimony from the victims and survivors during this hearing of the continuing impact that this incident had on them.
Lloyd, a former police officer, admitted four counts of gross negligence manslaughter and a health and safety offence.
Well, paddleboarding remains the UK's fastest growing sport, and families who've lost loved ones have long called for safety changes. It's also something we've helped campaign for, which has won our chief reporter, Andrew Kay, an award.
What really struck me from listening to the heart-wrenching victim impact statements from the four families after the tragic events on Haverford West Weir was how many times they mentioned the recent safety changes in the sport as a result of what's happened. Bill Evans is from the government's Marine Accident Investigation Branch, and his report at the time into what happened in South Wales was scathing.
The leaders who led this commercial trip didn't have the training or competence.
He told me all of the paddleboarders that day were attached to their boards by a surfing-style ankle leash, and that was a mistake.
Hadn't insisted on all of the participants wearing the correct safety equipment. In particular, the wearing of appropriate clothing, the wearing of a buoyancy aid, and, really importantly, the wearing of a quick-release waist leash.
Now, a year before the four deaths at Haverford West, Sam Foyle had lost his best friend Simon on Cornwall's Camel Estuary and was already calling for the boards to be sold with a quick-release waist belt. In fact, Sam had put an ankle leash on Simon himself, which he thought would keep him safe.
People are wearing the wrong leash in the wrong circumstances, thinking they're doing the right thing.
As you can imagine, the deaths in Haverford West sent shockwaves right through the industry. We worked with Sam to then stage a world-first safety summit in Parliament to bring together the industry for the very first time to see what could be done. Soon afterwards, Sport England officially recognised a world-first governing body to lead on safety for the sport. And one of the founding members, Brendan Prince, a multi-world record-holding paddleboarder himself, who's dedicated his life to water safety, says it was a start, but certainly it's not enough.
Unfortunately, significant change never really happens unless a significant tragic event happens. This was a significant tragic event. It's now using that as a springboard to obviously better the world of stand-up paddleboarding.
And sadly, more lives have been lost since the Haverford West tragedy, but there has been some changes. There is now summer safety campaigns. Some retailers have changed the way they sell the boards and the information that's supplied with them. Work continues to look at the way instructors are trained and the way the boards are hired out. And there's also world-first scientific research underway into the different types of safety leash with a view to maybe one day mandating the use of them. Although for now, the industry remains divided on that issue.
Still to come on Behind the Headlines, we hear from a learner driver having to travel almost the length of the country for his test. And someone in Fife is particularly excited about the new Star Wars prequel.
Look out for iron bowls, large iron trays. They ordered 5 vintage rat traps from us. There were some large metal drums that were bought, stone bowls.
But first, we have the latest on the death of the Pope, and tens of thousands of mourners have spent the day queuing to see Pope Francis lying in state at St. Peter's Basilica in Vatican City. His open wooden coffin will be there until his funeral on Saturday. Meanwhile, a priest who organised Pope Francis's historic visit to Ireland says his legacy will live on forever. A book of condolence has opened at Belfast City Hall. Chief reporter James Gould spoke to Father Tim Bartlett.
The visit to Ireland back in 2018 will be remembered for the powerful moment he publicly apologised to abuse victims of the Catholic Church. As Catholics around the world continue to mourn his death, Father Tim Bartlett says he changed the papacy.
He absolutely changed the tone of how the papacy expressed itself and presented itself to the world. And I would say every part of him, it was authentic.
The funeral will take place on Saturday in Rome. It will be attended by government ministers from both the UK and Ireland.
Now, people didn't change their behaviour when local restrictions tightened during COVID, according to new research. Aberdeen University has conducted a Scotland-wide study into measures brought in and what effect they had. It was led by Dr. Chantal Dendas, who spoke to our reporter, Dave Galloway.
Before the restrictions even started, and people didn't know about them yet, people were already behaving quite well. So we asked, for example, about physical distancing, and we saw that most people indicated they were doing physical distancing most of the time. And that was true for locations where the restrictions ended up happening and locations where the restrictions weren't happening. So the behavior was already quite good, actually.
It's critically important, isn't it? This is the bottom line, that you need to find out what could have been done differently.
I think one of the things is the monitoring of behavior over time is very important. Maybe finding an indicator before the cases go up that is important to signal, hey, something has to change. And of course, also figuring out what exactly needs to change is quite important. So if we know where it goes wrong, which groups or what behaviors are important, better than we did back then, we might be able to prevent localized restrictions or the very mandatory, very strict restrictions in favor of some other rules that maybe work better.
We're staying in Scotland for our next story, where a vintage store in Fife is celebrating their largest ever order. They've supplied almost 200 props for the latest season of a Star Wars TV series. Our reporter Dale Eaton has more.
As people across the UK sit down to watch the new season of Star Wars prequel series Andor, they're likely to spot some of the 194 props supplied by a Cooper vintage firm. Scaramanga, named after the James Bond villain, provided a wide variety of items from baskets, tables and barrels to rat traps and even chicken coops. For managing director Carl Morinakeji, being involved in a Star Wars production is a dream come true.
And I'm personally a massive fan of Star Wars. I remember going to see the original Star Wars film in 1977 with my brother when I was 10 years old. We were captivated by the story plots and the creatures from distant lands.
It's not the first time the company have worked with Hollywood though, providing props for major films like The Batman, No Time to Die and recently Wicked Part 1.
We've still got the celebration of a particular vegetable to come and the latest stage in whether one of London's busiest streets will be pedestrianised. But first, the latest on the backlog of driving tests and what the government's planning to do about it. The Transport Secretary has today admitted the government's target to clear the backlog will be missed by up to 8 months. We've spoken to a man in Dorset who's having to wait 6 months and travel hundreds of miles for his driving test. 20-year-old Alex has been trying to get his manual licence for more than a year, but the backlog is making it almost impossible.
Alex's dream of becoming a police officer is almost a reality. He's passed his exams and is ready to start his career, but there's just one thing getting in the way, a manual driving licence.
It's almost impossible to book a test anywhere for the next 6 months.
After trying to book at every test centre in the southwest, Alex has finally bagged a September slot 244 miles away from his Dorset home.
I got to the point where I was on my phone, out all the test centres until the guy on the phone said, oh, we have one there. I landed in Rochdale, which is about 5.5 hours away from me, which is the only test I could get. I need to do it. It's part of my career. I need to get a manual test. And if it takes come to Rochdale for a one-off, then I guess I have to. But it's an absolute shambles, to be honest.
So what's going on? Well, the tests are being booked by bots, only to be sold online for around £200 a pop, something Transport Secretary Heidi Alexander has promised to tackle.
We will also be consulting on changes to the driving test booking system to try and deal with this issue of the bots that are frankly exploiting learners.
The minister also pledged 10,000 extra tests and more recesses as part of measures to tackle that waiting list. Alex and thousands of other young drivers will be hoping Heidi Alexander puts the foot on the accelerator to get the country's testing centres back on track. Still to come, find out which vegetable is being celebrated over the next 8 weeks. But first, residents have met with London Assembly members to look at plans to pedestrianise the world-famous Oxford Street. The Mayor of London announced initial proposals last year, but Sadiq Khan would need additional powers to press ahead with the change. Our reporter Claire Bode has been on the iconic shopping street to find out more. Anyone who's been shopping on Oxford Street will know how busy the road can get with thousands of cars driving down here every day. But the busy traffic could soon become a thing of the past in plans by Mayor of London Sadiq Khan. In a move backed by the UK government, he announced back in September he wanted to see the iconic street pedestrianised. Well, we asked shoppers if they supported these plans.
Saying for a while we need to get rid of all the cars and we should move more like Amsterdam with just bikes.
I think, personally, just leave it as it is. Like, it's an institution. Like, it's just London, so just used to it.
So there's just so many people everywhere. Because everyone's walking in the same direction or opposite directions, so everyone's just walking into each other all the time. I don't really know what the solution is.
Residents living on and around Oxford Street say, however, they are less keen, including Tim Lord, who's lived in Soho for 30 years.
I just don't think it's what Oxford Street is lacking at the moment. I think the buses and taxis are quite useful on Oxford Street. I think what we need is a safer Oxford Street, less crime, less phone theft, maybe some public toilets, and we need a better and more interesting retail offering.
The changes are expected to cost around £150 million, and it's hoped it will give the iconic shopping street a new lease of life.
And don't say we don't bring you the most important stories. We end tonight at the annual British Asparagus Festival. 8 weeks of celebrations for the vegetable are officially underway in Worcestershire. Our reporter Elliot Burrow has been there for us at the launch in the Vale of Evesham, asking the all-important questions, Elliot.
Just how do you prefer your asparagus? Is there a way that you prefer to eat it?
Yeah, I like mine wrapped in streaky bacon and then grilled.
Oh, I like it with batter.
Griddled. With either some rapeseed or some butter.
Butter and a little bit of parmesan.
The village of Breverton has quite literally gone mad for asparagus. The green-speared vegetable is here in its bucket loads. I've heard a nod to the asparagus and they've even got an asparagus mascot called Gus.
You've got this amazing vegetable that the Vale of Evesham's famous for and we've got to keep the tradition alive.
There's Morris dancers, music, people wearing hats with knitted versions of asparagus on. I've even seen a plateful of asparagus bacon sandwiches. Yes, you heard that right. It's something you definitely don't see every day.
So I like to top hat and I wanted to decorate it with asparagus because we are called Aesham Grass, which is after Evesham asparagus. So we want it to go green and a bit of purple as well. Because this, if you look at asparagus, there is a little bit of purple in asparagus, isn't there?
A van load of asparagus also arrived for the launch. In front of me actually is the first 100 asparagus that's been cut this season in the Vale. And this festival now runs into June, and during that time there's only one thing that's important here. Well, two, asparagus and eating it.
Oh yes, I do like a bit of griddled asparagus. And you can find out more on these and other stories on the news pages of our radio station websites. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or come back here tomorrow or listen on the Rayo app. A new episode of Behind the Headlines is uploaded every weekday evening.